Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Wednesday, July 4th, 2018. Happy Independence Day, everybody. I hope you have a safe and happy one. I hope you get to have burgers, hot dogs, ribs. If you're vegan, you know, maybe your Morningside vegetable patties or your Boca burgers, your Impossible burgers, which do not taste like hamburgers. They don't taste like burgers. They taste like something else that was created from a lab. But I hope you have a good time. I hope you do not blow your hands off or injure yourself while you're trying to light illegal fireworks. Remember, never forget Jason Pierre-Paul. I believe that he tweeted out something or he reminded everybody of what happened to him by showing a picture of his mangled hand. So don't do that. Go to community-sponsored events and have a good time. Look at it. Look at the fireworks from a safe distance. Go to a park or something and, you know, sit on the edge of your, the hood of your car with your family and friends and watch. You know, get yourself a nice adult beverage or a juice box. Get, you know, and enjoy this. Enjoy Independence Day, everything it stands for, all the good things that it stands for. And then on July 5th, start prepping your panic rooms. Start getting your MREs. Start really thinking about what you're going to do with the rest of your life to make keep you and your family safe, because it's getting serious, folks. So just prepare for that. I mean, prepare, start, you know, getting used to powdered juice. Start getting used to that, because there's not going to be any more LaCroix. You're probably not going to have any more sparkling water when this administration's done for you. Okay. Probably not going to have that. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. Remember to rate and review the show on Apple Podcast and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it. Because if you do, it'll make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You know, for the 300 to 400 of you that listen to this thing, it would be nice to show that you actually like it. You know, there's some podcasts that I appreciate, that I like, as soon as they debut. They're new and noteworthy on iTunes and Apple Podcasts, and it's just like, really? These guys are playing with a loaded deck every time, you know? And this is a homespun podcast, you know? It's coming from my apartment, and I'm doing it myself. And all right. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Stitcher at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 295. 5 episodes away from 300. I've got a special guest, super special return guest, writer and film critic Tim Hall, the people's critic. That's how you know him as. I have a conversation with him, and I'm going to share it with you in a bit. Right now, I just finished eating a nice breakfast. I didn't have as many eggs as I would have liked. Every now and then, like once or twice a week, I like to have some eggs, you know? I went to Whole Foods yesterday, and I got to tell you something, guys. I went to Whole Foods 2 days in a row. Not because, you know, like I'm a baller or anything like that, but it's because, okay, so after the gym, I went to Whole Foods, and I was walking around. I was like, I'm going to get something to make a salad. I'm going to get a protein, and I'm going to get some vegetables to make a salad and have a good time and watch YouTube clips while I'm eating dinner. So I'm walking around, I'm getting my stuff, and I go to the deli, the meat section, And I'm just looking to see a white woman cut in front of me like they always do, you know, and just they just, you know, if anybody. So LeBron's a Laker now, and that's pretty cool. Like it's free agency is always fun for me. Free agency in the NBA is fun. And I know people say, oh, my God, all these pylon teams. DeMarcus Cousins like joining the war. That's insane. I would have liked to have seen him go to the Lakers. Would have been nice to see him with the Celtics. But, you know, whatever. But if LeBron needs help on the offensive and defensive board, he could just get a middle-aged white woman from Bergen County, New Jersey, and because they will box people out. They don't care how big you are. This one white woman that cut in front of me, she didn't care that I look like an ex-defensive tackle. She didn't give a shit. She just cuts right in front of me. The black girl saw her that was working at the counter. She just, you know, we were just like, yeah, this is how they are. And whatever. And it came time for me. So I'm looking. I said, you know what? Let me see what's good. What's really good. And I got to say, I don't know that I mentioned this before, but I mentioned this to one of my coworkers. Whole Foods has really stepped their game up, especially with their hot food section. The macaroni and cheese has always been next level to me. For cafeteria, hot bar, grocery store food, I don't care how upscale it is. I've had some really good up at this place called the Market Basket that's in like a really rich area. And that's good, but I haven't been to that store. I was at some cast party for a play that I did, and like I think the last show that I ever did, play that I did, and somebody had Market Basket macaroni and cheese catered. Anyway, I always say Whole Foods, next level macaroni and cheese, next level tuna salad. Even their tuna salad with the froofy cranberries in it, that's really good too. But I just like the standard issue, you know, tuna salad. And so I'm looking and I said, how is the buffalo turkey? Like they had this slab of turkey and it was seasoned with buffalo ingredients or whatever you do to make something buffalo. All right. Yeah, I'll go with that. Why not? And I was like, how is that? And she let me try it. I think that she cut off a little piece for me. Most delis will do that. They let you try stuff. And I tasted it. I was like, oh, my God, I need some of it. It was $14.99 a pound. I was like, I don't want four. I just want let me get a half a pound. And she was like, that's like four slices. I was like, bet. And it's like these nice little thick cut slices. Not that you could put it on a sandwich, but it would be something that you would kind of have like sides and, you know, you have your starch like a mac and cheese or a potato. And you have some vegetables or whatever. And I got it with the intention to do that. And it's really good. I was really impressed. So yesterday after work, I went to another Whole Foods, which is like, and what is that? Closter, New Jersey. This been there for about a year. So I went there and I was like, yeah, can you give me a couple slices of the turkey? And I knew the guy. I was like, he's not going to cut it like the girl at the one in Paramus at the other Whole Foods, you know. And so he gave me like the deli, the little weak ass deli slices. But when I got home, I was like, oh, I have like three slices of this turkey. And I bought some vegetables, like some kind of kale greens, whatever that was. It was okay. And I had that with mac and cheese. It was good. It was and I saw one of my fellow comedian friends that said, she said, Whole Foods, when I have that fast food craving, I got to go to Whole Foods. And it looks like it's obviously going to be healthier than McDonald's. Like, because usually the default is, I'll get a burger, you fat idiot, you know. And so I need to reshape my thinking to where it's like, oh, I'll go to Whole Foods and get like some greens, like a little piece of chicken or something, you know what I'm saying? And get it popping on that way. Because people, they don't just eat at Whole Foods. They dine. They dine at Whole. Like, people are, like, just there having a good old time. And it's people of every ethnicity going there and eating and having a good time. I saw this African woman who, and it just, it reminded me of the Wegmans in PG County, where it was like, when I told you, like, the middle-aged black dude, elderly black guy or middle-aged black dude was like getting chicken and like fixing his plate like he was at a family reunion or a cookout, really like having a blast. And I was like, okay, you know this food's good when people like are like that. So this is like African woman getting food, and she was doing her thing and getting stuff. I was like, yeah, so this is probably pretty, it's decent. Like, everybody's eating it, you know? And people go there, like, two of my coworkers actually said, like, people go there for breakfast. Like, the breakfast is supposed to be fire. I was like, okay, you know, I normally get breakfast food, you know. But how did I get here? I was talking about not having enough eggs. I've been to three grocery stores in 2 days, and I didn't get eggs. Because I had to go to another grocery store to get some other like toiletries and stuff. But anyway, and I didn't have eggs. I only had like two eggs. Normally I do like three or four. And when I have a big hearty breakfast, and I had bought some like these chorizo sausages from Whole Foods, which is also good. I like Whole Foods now. I think I like it. It's a little, I think it's, has it gotten cheaper since, I don't know if it's gotten cheaper since Amazon took over, but they do have like Prime Rewards now that you got to download an app for. So that's, I don't know. I guess that's how the government wants to keep that's how they want to have surveillance over us. Download these apps for savings, and we could see your inner thoughts and what your mom told you, texted you or whatever. I don't know. I think today I'm going to pick up some shirts that I bought from Destination XL. Friend, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to go see The Purge, the first Purge, the new Purge movie, because there's black people in it. I have only seen the first one. But there's a lot. There's the SoundCloud guy from Insecure is in it. So I was like, okay. And then some cute black girls. I think one of them was from Superfly, I think. And I'm not going to check that. You can check it for me. But all right. So I'm going to read you. I got an email. Can you believe that, folks? I got an email, and I'll read you this email that I got from Melissa, and then I'll bring you to Tim. All right, here we go. Hello, Fergan. Oh, shit. I'm not that great reading out loud. You'd think being in debt for a master's degree in acting and all that stuff that I'd be able to read, but nobody's perfect. All right, take two. Hello, fellow Bergen Countian. Now that I'm a Patreon of your show, thank you, I thought I should write and tell you how much I enjoy the podcast and look forward to seeing you at the TBGWT live show in September. Of course, I have VIP tickets, so I'll be able to witness your stand-up expertise. I reside in Teaneck, a nice, diverse town of Bergen County. I frequent some black-owned restaurants on Queen Anne Road that have proven to be yummy. My favorite lately is the Wing Wizard. They have a lemon, garlic, and reggae medley to die for. The Metro Cafe has your Caribbean / soul, and the Coffee Cornbread has a great lunch and dinner menu. They're all in the same block. Okay, back to the movies. Your podcast got me going to the theater. I've listened to Medium Popcorn for a while. Shout out. I even met you at their live show last year. I remember that. At the Le Poisson Rouge. I would only look at the older movies they would review. But the moment you did the review with the guy who does the YouTube reviews, that would be Arturo Zurita, the ATZ show. Check that dude out. He is fucking brilliant. I got MoviePass and started going weekly. By the way, what do you think will happen to MoviePass with the AMC A-list? As I understand, with that, you can see 3D and IMAX. Will you switch? I just saw Hereditary. Very interesting. Hoping you're going to review that one. I have some questions about those characters that I'm sure a review can answer. I saw Uncle Drew and Incredibles 2 Friday. I enjoyed both. Your reviews give me a different way of looking at movies. I would have never seen Hereditary if I hadn't been listening to the podcast. I got through the movie without being freaked out or spooked. Well, I'm on my way to see Ocean's 8, so either I'll see you around the county or in Carolina. Sorry for the long email. Take care, the Mel lady. Mel, that was not a long email. Thank you for writing. A lot of things to unpack here. The only place that I think I've tried on Queen Anne Road, I actually did a show at the Zen Lounge. I think it's still there. I'm not 100%. That's like a Asian restaurant. And there's a place. Oh, my God. What the hell is the name of that place? Oh, my God. Let me see. Korean fried chicken near me. I'll do it that way. And it better be Peck Peck Chicken. Well, that's on DeGraw. That's actually on DeGraw Avenue. And it's Korean fried chicken. And it's near Queen Anne. I guess it's not that far. Not that far at all. Teaneck's a nice sized town, but it's not that big. But Peck Peck Chicken, oh my God. Soy garlic wings. I think they have like, I forget what kind they, what is it called? They have, that is good, but I need to definitely need to try some of the places you listed there. But I'll tell you, where's the flavors? Okay, soy garlic, sweet and spicy. From Peck Peck, they're on DeGraw Avenue, and they've got sweet and spicy chicken, which is great. Soy garlic, great. Salt and pepper, also good, but it's just like, that's just like fried chicken. So you could probably like put some hot sauce on it or whatever. But if you got the soy garlic and sweet and spicy, you really don't need to put any sauce or anything on it. All right. So I definitely should. I need to try some of these places you put on here. Movies. So I did over the weekend. I did subscribe. I joined the A-list for AMC. I am now an A-lister. So I like it so far. So Saturday, and I think I might have told Tim on the show. I probably did mention it, but I joined the A-list and I just happened to be out on Saturday. So I went to go see Sicario 2. I got a haircut, went to the shoe store and came back around. And then I went to see Uncle Drew again. And Tim and I are going to talk about, there's a special Patreon episode where Tim and I have a chat and we talk about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and Won't You Be My Neighbor and Uncle Drew. And yeah, so I saw two movies in a day and I didn't have to pay for it. Obviously, you're paying $21 a month. It's $19.99 plus tax. But I would say I think MoviePass will eventually fade away. But for me, they both work because I said this last week how I feel like for somebody that loves movies, like just really, really loves movies, my favorite theater is AMC in Hackensack because it's really close. It's a brand new theater. It's nice to keep it clean and you can't use MoviePass there. So it's so convenient and it's so nice that I was like, you know what? Most of the time I go to the theater, it's going to be at AMC. So I will pay $21 a month to do that. And at the same time, MoviePass, as a comedian that travels on the weekends or is on the road and constantly in all these different places, and I still love going to the movies as part of my ritual before shows, if I can do it, I'll go to the movies. And a lot of times they don't have AMC. They have Regal. They have like Bowtie Cinema, or they have another franchise. But for the most part, a lot of these theaters, at least in the tri-state area and where I'm normally around, they take MoviePass, and AMC still takes MoviePass, but there's only certain AMCs that there's only a few of them that there's just certain ones that don't take it, like a high end I guess the dine-ins don't take them, and that's the only one that I've run into that don't really take MoviePass. So I will hold on to MoviePass for as long as I can, for as long as they have the service, because it's still beneficial to me. But if you're somebody that is, you just go to one theater, like you don't, you know, and you don't, you're not obsessed with movies like I am, AMC is probably good for you, or MoviePass is good for you. I mean, there would be no need to upgrade. The only thing, you don't get credit for, you don't get Stubbs points when you get your tickets from the app, where you, when you don't, when you use your A-list, you don't get points. You only get points from concessions. So overall, for me, it's good. It's good to have both of them. I hope that answered your question. With Hereditary, I don't know if we've done, I haven't done a review. I just kind of, I thought it was an interesting movie. I liked it for, mainly for Toni Collette's performance. It got kind of weird towards the end. And the homie J.L. Covan mentioned something like, you know, and I kind of agree with him, where like you got to make something, just because it's art house doesn't mean that you don't have to wrap something up, you know. It was just kind of, the ending was just kind of weird. And I get what it was, what they were doing, but it was just like, all right. But I will say, check out Arturo's clip on it. I think he has two YouTube channels. One is the ATZ show, and one is called Let Me Explain, where he will break down a movie within 3 to 5 minutes and give you his take on it. You know, that doesn't mean it's gospel, but I really appreciate that dude's insight, and I think he's great. Yeah, so I liked Ocean's 8. You know, I saw that last week. But Mel, thank you so much for writing in, and I look forward to seeing you at the live Black Guy Who Tips show. So if you haven't gotten tickets for the Black Guy Who Tips live, go get tickets, and it'll be fun. It'll be great. Yeah. So, okay, I've blabbed way too much, but I feel bad because I wasn't around for you guys for a little bit. You know, well, it's not like you didn't get a podcast last week. I mean, shit. What am I? You know, this is free. Anyway, so Patreon folks, you'll have some more shit this week and to listen to. And let's get you to Tim. Tim, I just wanted to talk to him. So I said, hey, Tim, do you want to do a pod? And he said, yes. And here's evidence of it right now. Enjoy it, folks. So you were at, an MLS game?
Yeah, the Seattle Sounders. So, you know, I've been sort of ingesting soccer a lot since the World Cup started. So I've just been all soccered out. Okay. And then my homeboy had tickets. His wife won tickets in a raffle at work. So they're really good seats. We went and, the girl next to me was drunk, and then her friend threw up everywhere.
Oh, man.
Like a lot.
Were they white?
It was a lot.
Were they white?
Yeah, they were a white. But it's good. But I like the way they handled it, like alcohol enforcement. Well, first the ushers came, then alcohol enforcement came and sort of got them out of there very politely. She had to walk past me, so I was hoping she didn't start throwing up when she walked past me, because she had that look in her eye.
Oh, man.
But yeah, like it was, she was ready to just let go. But he was still dry heaving. Like, it was bad.
Damn.
And this was what, 11:30, 12 o'clock, around 12:30. So they came in lit. They came in cheering for no reason. I was like, oh, they're drunk. And then it sort of like went from drunk to bad.
So then that meant they were pre-gaming at about 9 or 10 then.
Yeah, probably. I mean, there's like, so it's over by the stadium, like CenturyLink is where the Seahawks play. That's where the Sounders games are at.
Uh-huh.
And then that's right next to the Safeco Field where the Mariners play. So around there, there's a bunch of bars, obviously, a bunch of places to eat, not to mention there's, you know, beer served
right
in the stadium. So it's easy to get drunk around there. Not hard to do.
I can imagine. That's so how is that team? Is that team any good?
Yeah, it's a pretty good team. I mean, they're sort of, you know, a few rungs below, you know, what we're watching, and, you know, as far as talent-wise, with some of the teams you're seeing, either if you're watching the Premier League or especially the World Cup. But they're still pretty, still very, very good athletes, man. I'm always amazed at how good those soccer athletes are. And how much bread they make. Them dudes make a lot of money.
Somebody was saying at the barbershop that today that they make more than, like, NBA players.
Yeah, there's, like, a, they did a, like, you know, like, Forbes top earning sports people. And, like, Mayweather was one. And then, like, in the top five were two soccer players. It was, like, Messi. It was, like, Messi, Ronaldo, and Neymar were, like, in the top 10. Okay. Easy. Yeah, so three of the top 10 were all soccer players.
Yeah, I don't know much about soccer. I know when I really got into soccer was like FIFA 94 for Sega Genesis. And that was I used the Brazil because Ronaldo the one I guess he got fat now and people were like making fun of him. But the ball-headed guy, like that's when he was the best like around that time.
And, yeah, those guys are really good.
Yeah, and I know Freddie Adu.
Yeah, what happened to him?
I don't know. I don't know what he's doing now. He was dating JoJo at one point.
Wait, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, the singer. I think for
I know who that is.
Yeah, he's it's 20,
for Freddie.
He's 29. What happened to Freddie?
I guess we were introduced to him when he was like a kid.
Yeah,
he was like 14, 15 when we first met him. Yeah. I guess that makes sense that he's 29 now.
I guess he's still...
It's a Freddy, man.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I wish I had played soccer seriously when I was a kid, and I look at some of these guys, man. Can you imagine that? You're making that much money to travel the world and play soccer.
All the money you're making, you're in shape constantly. You're just in shape because you're running all the time.
You're running. You're running for 90 minutes a game. Yeah, great. Good for them, though.
That just wasn't a thing where I grew up. In Southern Maryland, that was just not a – it was just football, baseball, and basketball.
Yeah, it was a thing in Northern California when I was a kid, but I got kicked in my shins too much, and I was like, yeah, I'm good. Let me get off of this, man. You guys are kicking me and pushing me. I'm good. Let me because I was really fast as a kid.
You were really what as a kid?
I was really fast.
Oh, okay.
Really, really, really fast. So that I was always, you know, get him out here and let him run around with the ball.
Right.
But I want to look sweet playing football, so I decided to do that instead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then just speaking of soccer, Hope Solo came out a couple days ago, and said, what's wrong with soccer in the U.S.? It's a rich white kid sport.
She's right.
Yeah. She's an abuser, though, Tim. So
she's definitely an abuser.
She can't be right. No, I'm just, I mean, yeah, she did beat some people up, but, you know.
Yeah, she did. She had very aggressive nudes leak on the internet, too. They were pretty aggressive. Do you remember that?
That's the first time I heard that. I remember seeing them, but aggressive nudes.
They were aggressive, man.
That's hilarious. Oh,
but Hope, man, she's right, though, because there's a kid who just scored two goals. He's 19. He plays for France. Yeah. He scored two goals today in the World Cup. He does not get to play in America. He gets passed up.
Why?
And I think because he can't afford it.
Oh, he just can't afford it. Okay.
I heard Bomani say it today, the other day, either on Twitter or on the show, like, they find money for these little black dudes to be on AAU teams to travel, right? These dudes got no money, but they can travel. They can leave Sea Pleasant and go play around the country in these Nike-sponsored events because they understand what they're investing in. And I think that same model has to be practiced in football and so soccer, which is like, we know these young kids can't afford it, but let's get a kid out of Compton who can play, and let's invest in these kids and make sure they can travel with these traveling soccer teams, let's give them a chance to play and go to these camps and all that kind of stuff. We've done it with other sports. We just haven't taken the time to invest in soccer that way. And until we do so, we're always going to be beat because those people are good, man.
Do you think
really, really good?
Do you think it's just the elitism?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then those elite people don't ever want to do it for a living because they go on to become lawyers and doctors and entrepreneurs in other areas. Very few of them go on to play, but for the people who that's their out, they never get a chance to play at a kind of a high level and hone their skills.
That sucks. You would,
and people probably deter them. Yeah. They're probably deterring them in every turn. If you're a big, fast black dude, they're probably deterring you from playing soccer and wanting you to play football or basketball. Because they know how to apply that skill. It's like, I know what I can do in this area with this. We're going to stop. Don't play soccer anymore. We're going to have you do this thing.
Yeah, that's something. It just doesn't seem like, I mean, and that's why we get our asses kicked. We didn't even qualify for this, right? We didn't even, America, the U.S. didn't even qualify for the World Cup this year. Did I lose you, Tim?
No, I'm still here. You hear me?
Oh, okay. I think maybe my, okay. I was going to say we didn't even qualify.
Oh, yeah, no, we didn't qualify at all.
Yeah, that's, and then we want to, I think yeah. they want to have it over here at some point.
Yeah, 2026. It's supposed to be like Mexico, U.S., and Canada hosting the World Cup.
Yeah, we got to do something, Tim.
Yeah, we got to do something. I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I think they'll start to figure it out at some point. Because it's definitely, if you've ever traveled overseas, man, these people are nuts about soccer.
Yeah, we're the only people.
It's kind of crazy.
We don't seem to get it collectively as a country.
Nope.
I don't really, I mean, I'm not, I don't, it, what this happens, what is it, every 4 years or so? Every four,
right.
The World Cup, is it every 4 years?
Every 4 years, yeah.
And it seems like when it comes around, people are like, hey, people get on Facebook, hey man, fuck you if you don't understand soccer. It's cool. It's like, hey man, I'm not gonna judge you because you like something. If it's yeah. not a thing for me, people enjoy something and it's not hurting anybody, have at it. I could care less. But it's
listen.
Like,
I love the fact that people enjoy stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I see all these people at cons, yourself included. It looks like
yeah.
it's fun, and it looks like it's a good time, and people are enjoying themselves. Why shit on it?
Yeah, I spent 2 days at a Comic Con with a bunch of people in costumes. Well, who am I to complain if you show up at a Beyonce concert in full Beyonce attire? Why would I complain about that? It's
yeah.
the same thing.
Yeah, for the life of me, I don't think I'll ever understand why people shit on other people's joy. In these
times, unhappy.
In these harsh times, Tim.
Because they're unhappy, man. Listen, man, there is nothing like seeing people elated about something they care about. The best part about a Comic-Con is the kids, when they run into people in full costume and it's the looks on their faces, because they feel like they're really talking to Batman. It's the best thing ever. It's hard, and it's hard to fake that.
Yeah,
you just be chilling and see a child, and they'll light up because they see someone in an Iron Man costume, and they want to go over and meet Iron Man.
Some of that shit is insane. I don't know, like the meticulousness, is that a word?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a word.
The way people put their the way people put their costumes together, it's insane. I saw somebody. I don't know
yeah,
if
man.
You took the picture. Or someone else of somebody, they were like a pixelated monster. I don't know if it was.
Oh, no, I saw that one too.
What was that?
I saw that.
That was insane.
That was at a Comic Con. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think if I was younger and more of this stuff was around, I would probably be more into it. It's so it's hard to really. I don't know. Like, I mean, it seems like it's just gone so far ahead of me that it's hard to jump in. Like when people are doing double dutch and you try to
yeah.
you know, jump in. Like I was at
yeah.
I was down in Atlantic City this past week, and I went into a Books A Million, and I hadn't been into a bookstore in a long time, and I was just like walking around, and they had all these little trinkets, like these action figures
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and those Funko Pops.
Is that
what it's called? The little big head Iron Man and all that shit? It looked cool. I mean, as collectibles, I mean, I used to love collectibles and stuff, but it was a treasure trove. I mean, I've dabbled into getting these action figures, and I follow a bunch of accounts on Twitter. I mean, not Twitter, but Instagram. And that shit is crazy. It's insane.
Yeah, it's a whole nother world, man. It's
yeah.
fun, though. If you're into it, it's fun. The beautiful thing is, like, there may be a character who you're not aware of that somehow pops up next year that is something you would want to cosplay as or dress up, you know?
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, I can easily do that. I can be that thing. There are plenty of big black dudes who are happy Luke Cage is out now.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, snaps. I can put on a hoodie with holes in it and some Timbs and some jeans and be Luke Cage.
I like that Carhartt that he's got. The
Yeah.
It's like a blue and it's got the yellow inside the hoodie in the inseam or whatever. Did you watch season 2?
I did. I just finished it last night, actually.
What'd you think? I just finished it, too.
I didn't love it as much as I thought I would.
What?
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't love it. It starts kind of slow.
It did start. It started really slow. Yeah.
I was just like, what are we doing? Alfie Woodard, she's got a heavy role in it this time around. And Claire Temple's out the picture early. And he's sort of just meandering around Harlem. And then as it comes together with Bushmaster's story and the Jamaicans and the rum and all that, it starts making more sense.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy, like, the whole Shades-Mariah relationship. It just always seemed weird.
Dude, there was one scene where he was mouthing her lines. And it looks so weird. It's like, dude, come on, man. You've been doing this for a while now, right? And he's just mouthing her lines.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what are you doing? It's like Will Smith in season 1 of Fresh Prince.
Right.
You know, but it was just...
I liked him and Thomas Jones together.
Thomas was Jones good. Was really good for an ex-football. He rocked out.
Yeah.
I didn't know...
I didn't realize it was him for a while. And I was like, oh, wait, that is Thomas Jones.
Yeah, yeah, man.
He's good.
What did you think of Alfre Woodard?
I like her as an actress. I thought that I didn't like her character arc in this.
Yeah.
I thought she was fine. I just didn't like what they did with her character, Mariah.
I loved her.
It was weird hearing her curse. Okay. Hearing her curse and, like, it was just, maybe that was it.
Because she's so dignified and stuff.
Playing. Yeah, she's like my grandma or something, one of my old aunts.
Yeah.
So that was weird. I think that's just a personal thing. I don't feel like her performance was terrible. It was sort of shocking to see her cursing in the police station and acting up.
Calling Luke Cage a nigger.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was fun. Like, she's just got so much range. I don't think I've ever seen her like that before. Just so, like, free and just, like, chewing scenery. It was just, it was just like, I could tell she was having fun when they were.
Oh, she was having a blast.
Yeah.
But she got to do a bunch of different things, right? She got to be a mom. She got to be kind of like a crime boss. She got to be sort of this really ignorant hood auntie.
Yeah.
She got to be like a love interest.
Mm-hmm.
She got to be sort of like this slimy businesswoman who's trying to cut a deal with a bunch of other powerful business people in New York. So she got to play like a bunch of different characters around who she is as Mariah. So I can imagine that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because if you're Mike Colter, you're probably not having fun.
Yeah, because he's the good guy. He's like, oh, I'm going to save you guys. And
I'm going to save Harlem.
Yeah, I love Harlem. So it's
I don't curse.
Did he curse? He cursed a little bit, right? I think
he cursed. So he did. He cursed like once or twice.
Yeah. I liked it. I definitely agree with you where like it just started off kind of slow and then eventually it picked up and I couldn't stop watching. Like it took me maybe about 3 sittings to finish it.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
It made me wonder what they're going to do with the next season with how this one ended.
You know, yeah, that's an interesting thing. Like you're putting him in the owning Harlem's paradise, and he's got a bitter, I guess Shorty's going to be Nightshade, Tilda?
Yeah.
Because she's going to be a Nightshade's a villain, right?
I think so. I don't remember. I think so.
Okay. And because she's jealous, she's mad, she didn't get it. And then Misty.
Yeah, she didn't hide that.
No, she didn't hide it at all. I like the fact that there's just like really beautiful black women on the show too, so like somebody,
right?
Somebody
and different young, types of women.
Oh yeah, some different like coming up, like some kids, young teenagers are gonna come up like liking these, like really diverse array of black women. It's and Rosario Dawson.
And Rosario Dawson, yeah,
yeah. What I also liked about it even more this season. like it, like the homage to New York Undercover, how it reminded mm-hmm. me of Natalie's. Like, especially, I loved, everybody goes for the, you know, you got KRS-One, you got Ghostface. That's, well, Ghostface wasn't, was he in Harlem's Paradise? No, he was at like,
no, he was at my favorite character was that. That's the Pariah, that's Piranha. What's
Piranha, yeah.
Piranha's Club.
Where was hilarious. He from?
I don't know.
He was from a was he in the Thea? Time. Was he on Thea? Was
he might have been.
I know Jason Weaver was on Thea, but I think he was, no, that's yeah. he wasn't on there. Shit.
Yeah, he was acting real stupid in this. he was on screen.
He was cooning it up.
Yeah, his coon level. He was 10 out of 10.
Luke Cage, what is his
name? Guy was pretty good.
He's in like a lot of, at least like some kind of 90s sitcom. That's going to fuck with me if I don't get it.
He's good though.
Yeah. Dontrell. Well, that was Misty Knight's husband. I mean, Simone Missick's husband in real life. Raymond.
Yeah, he was good too.
Yeah. Chaz Lamar Shepard. All right, we're going to get this now. Let's see.
All right, whatever it is.
This would help if I had like a producer that could keep it up and I could still keep talking.
You can just yell it to you in your earpiece as you're talking.
Yeah. Chaz Lamar Shepard. He's from Philly. He was in Set It Off, Nutty Professor. Had a part in Seventh Heaven. He's been in a lot of shit.
Seventh Heaven.
Yeah. Oh man. Ooh. Blue Marvel. Oh, he's one black guy that was in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. The Game. He was on The Game. The Parkers.
The show. The Parkers. Sounds like he might have been on a trajectory. The Game. The Parkers. Was that 227?
In the House. Sister. Sister. Yeah, I can remember him. Being on
that. He's got all the black shows.
Yeah, he's 40 years old. Like he's been in the game a long time. That's what's up.
Good for him, man.
Can't be mad at that. That's what I like about Luke Cage, man. They're giving these black actors a shot, man. Can't be mad at that.
Yeah, that's your real. Like, yeah, I was in Luke Cage for 2 episodes and I got killed. But here's my reel of me getting beat up by Luke Cage.
But we as a black community aren't gonna forget that. You know what I mean?
No.
And he's always
gonna see him on the street like, "Hey, Luke Cage." He's yelling random stuff at him.
He's always gonna be Piranha.
Yep. Yep, for sure. And the guy who played Bushmaster was really good.
Yes, he was
good. I like him, man. That dude was solid.
A lot of people were hating on the Jamaican accents. Did you buy them? It didn't.
No, I didn't. But I was fine.
Did they all like? Do you think his was good?
No, listen, man. As someone who watched Mark for Death with back in the 90s with Steven Seagal, where they had those terrible Jamaican accents, I'm fine with anything else.
Okay.
Well, man, people who have a complaint about that, I would just send them a clip of Mark for Death where Seagal fights the Jamaicans in the jewelry store. And you can see just how terrible, what a terrible Jamaican accent sounds like. Because those are terrible.
Mustafa Shakir. I didn't mind it. But I was going to say, before we went into that little tangent, it reminded me, you know, obviously Natalie's and stuff. But I really liked, I really loved Gary Clark Jr.'s performance.
And, yeah, he was good.
And how it like synced up with the montage that he was a part of, and Esperanza Spalding, of course, pulling out one of the old joints from her second album. Like, it's just like I didn't mind the slow build, and it just seemed like the show, it was more lived in, and it was just kind of, it was really dense with the black cultural stuff. Like, they mentioned Debbie Thomas. Like, you know, the ice skater Debbie Thomas, remember?
Yeah.
I was like, damn, they took it there? You know, amongst a host of a lot of other things, too, but it was a fun watch. It was, it's one of the Marvel shows that I can really sink my teeth in. Like, I gotta go back and watch, like, I guess, like, was it Jessica Jones and the Defenders? People didn't really like that much, but maybe
Nah. Daredevil. It was, but the finish was short.
I like the Punisher. I did like the Punisher.
Yeah, Punisher was good too.
Yeah. I know what I wanted to talk to you about. What do you think about what are your thoughts on the closing of Toys R Us? Do you have any thoughts?
It's sad, man. Yeah. You know what's funny? The first thing I thought about, there was a kid I hated in elementary school because his dad went to Toys R Us, mm-hmm. and he used to have all the hot toys, man. He would have them early.
Wow.
Because I remember distinctly he came in with, like, this Knight Rider. He had, like, a new kit car, like. And he was showing off, man. I was like, dog, your dad works at Toys R Us. That must be the life. You get all the hot toys. That was my first thing. And then I just remember, I have so many memories. I don't know if it's the same for you, but so many childhood memories attached to Toys R Us.
I do too, man. And I want to get into that. But this is what I don't... So people that I respect and love on social media, I'm... Like Bomani Jones, love him to death. He's the reason, one of the reasons why I'm podcasting, why I know Rod and Karen. I know people like you, the whole like podcast universe, Black Twitter universe. I wonder if that guy has ever liked anything. Apparently, when he was a kid, he said his parents never bought him anything from Toys R Us. Like, he never really got to get any of those things. I don't know if that's the southern region of where Toys R Us's were, where he grew up. But I was just like, man, dude, like, you don't get why people are upset or feel some kind of way or feels like like nostalgia about it. I love him. If I ever see him, I'm going to talk to him about it. But he's in New York now. But he was like, oh, man, you know, my parents never got me that stuff. But then a thing, and another friend of the show, Fonte, was saying that the Sears Wish Book was a big thing. And it was.
Yeah, see, that wasn't me.
Now, in my house, it was because my dad worked at Sears. That's how I ordered my toys for Christmas.
Yeah.
But at the same time, throughout the year, man, Toys R Us, dude. What are we talking about?
We knew what it was. Here's the thing. You could go to Sears for a bunch of other stuff and maybe get some toys.
Right.
You could go to the mall for other things and maybe get some toys. If you pull up a Toys R Us, you know what it is.
You know what it is. Exactly. And see, that store was exclusively for us, and I think that's what
it was for kids,
right? And I think that's what people are kind of missing, because I saw Fonte mention Zaire's service merchandise. That was cool too, but you know, like Toys R Us is like you get that good report card, you're going to Toys R Us, you pull up, and it's like you get those video games, and get that. I'll never forget getting that ticket. That's when I got FIFA. It was at Toys R Us.
Yeah.
I was like, this looks cool. I want to get this game. And I don't know, man. Like the butterflies that I used to get going into the store.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
No, it reminds me of like going to the casino in Vegas. Just a weird entrance for every Toys R Us.
Yeah.
You sort of meander around the like cash registers to sort of find where you need to go. But I also think more than just it being a building that housed toys, it felt like something that you couldn't imagine a world where it didn't exist.
Right.
Like, I don't have children, so I've never had the joy of taking my kids to Toys R Us.
Mm-hmm.
But I never thought there would be a world where it just wasn't something that existed anymore. I always thought there'd be a Toys R Us. If I needed something, if I knew, like, oh, I can go get it at Toys R Us, whether it's buying a gift for my nephew or my friend's kids or whatever, I always felt like it was sort of a staple in our culture. And it's the end of an era. I think it's the ending of that that's really... along with the memories,
right?
It's something that's no longer around that was just, I've known it. It reminds me of like Prince passing away, where I had never lived where there wasn't a Prince.
Right.
It was always Prince music in my household, Prince music in our pop culture. I've watched him perform in Super Bowls. I watched him perform on SNL. I've seen his movies. Then as an adult, I was able to purchase his music on my own and have my own Prince catalog. different than my mom's vinyls.
Right.
So then now I'm living in a world where there's no print, and I can't even wrap my head around it. There's no more new print stuff coming. It's not happening anymore.
Yeah, it's.
I think that's what happens when there's something that's been in our lives for that long that's no longer there anymore.
Right, and it's like because I maybe 3 or 4 months ago I had posted stuff about Toys R Us, like what are some of your favorite Toys R Us memories, and quite a few people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was because I have a lot of comedians that I'm friends with on Facebook, but it seemed like it was all them not getting anything. I said, "What are your favorite memories? Not your memories where your parents shut you down. I'm talking about times that you had a good time." You know, some people were game, but you know, like they're like, I know people will say, you know, KB Toys, and that was something different too.
Yeah,
you know, but I think Toys R Us that was the Mecca. That was Mecca. And there was this, speaking of, you know, action figure folks, one of the Instagram accounts I follow is this dude called Shardimus Prime, and he does these action figure reviews on YouTube, and he's a collector. And he had this, I'll read you his post. He says, RIP TRU, this is not Amazon's fault. A holding company offers to purchase TRU back in 2005, but doesn't have all the money to do so, so they take a loan from a bank. Somehow the interest charges from that loan were put onto TRU, and those high interest charges on the loan dug into profit margins, making TRU file for bankruptcy. Why would TRU take the holding company's offer? Because the new CEO at the time used to work for the holding company. That's more or less it. Feel free to correct me on details, not on video games, not Amazon, not social, only corporate greed. Hashtag Foster City, hashtag Toys R Us, hashtag Mitt Romney. Okay. Somebody said all wrong. Thanos snapped his fingers and made Toys R Us disappear.
Oh, come on.
There's a picture on Instagram of Jeffrey. Like, did you see it? Like, his baby.
Yeah, dragon. I saw that.
Did you see the one where they did the disappearing shit on him, too? Like, the Thanos.
No, that's messed up. Poor Jeffrey. Man.
Oh, man. Oh, shit.
Jeffrey had quite a run, man.
He did.
He had quite the impact on a lot of young people, including myself.
Of course, man. Like, it's sad to see that shit go, because now we're of the age where we can look back and say, oh, yeah, that Toys R Us, that used to be a thing, and now it's not.
Yeah, that was a thing. Yeah. It's funny, because I'm sure you're the same. Like, my parents would talk about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'd be out in Oakland, and they'd be like, yeah, this used to be a bakery. I'd be like, for real?
Mm-hmm.
But for them, they're mourning the fact that there was this thing that they went to when they dated, when they were younger, and family members and all this history. And for me, it's just an old building that dope heads hang out in front of. I don't know it as a bakery.
Yeah,
there'll be more of that. That's kind of the sad thing. There'll just be more things in our lives that, you know.
Right, right.
Like even my nephew, like, he doesn't know a world without the internet as it currently exists.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I asked him if he could tell me what my phone number is, he would lose his mind. He has no idea what my phone number is. He just knows he can push Uncle Tim in the phone right. And it calls me.
Yeah.
That's all he knows.
I used to have a bunch in my head that I knew. I used to just know them. Or I used to have the Casio watch with the data bank.
People's
number. I still like Casio watches, man. I was looking some up online. I still like the G-Shock. You know, there's some that are like $2,000. Did you know that?
Wow.
It's like,
no.
I think if you're just like a military guy, like the frog, it's called like Frogman. And I guess if you're a Navy SEAL or some shit, and maybe you need a watch if you're like 600 feet on, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But it seemed like to be.
I'm
like
Jason Bourne. Is something a watch I need?
Exactly. Unless you, but they look great. But you to get one, it's just to think like, why would I even need that? I work in a fucking cubicle.
Yeah.
But it looks cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember meeting this girl at a club one time and having to remember her phone number.
Did you put it in your watch and then she gave you the wrong number?
Nope.
When she saw
she, I didn't have a pin. You know, this was back before everyone had a cell phone. I didn't have a pin or nothing.
Yeah.
I remember she whispered, but we were in the club, and she tells me her phone number in my ear. And I remembered that joint.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I was like, got it.
How did that
lock in?
Did you go out with her?
Yeah, we went out a couple times, man. She was cool. She lived, like, super far south. Mm.
Is this,
yeah, super,
is this,
like, way out.
Is this when you were in Cali?
No, this was here. This was in Seattle. We was at a club, yeah. And she, yeah. But that's, you know, not something I'd have to do now. But, yeah, I just remember being like, I'm going to remember this girl's phone number.
Yeah.
And I did.
There were stakes. The stakes were high.
Yeah. There's not a lot of room for error in those moments.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, I don't know, man. I think I like nostalgia, but I don't live in it. You know, it's like you mm-hmm. can easily get trapped there, but at the same time I do appreciate it, you know.
Listen, I've seen a lot of films. You know, our film festival just ended, so I've seen a bunch of movies that a few of them touched on nostalgia mm-hmm. in a way that I didn't anticipate. And it's all these memories and things you thought you forgot and
yeah.
or didn't know or misremembered.
Because I know like a movie like Ready Player One is just like, blatantly like tugging at, is blatantly for nostalgia's sake. And it seemed like it kind of disappeared.
It's like nostalgia porn.
Did it feel that way to you? Because it seemed like it was here. And then it was gone. Like I know now it's like out on streaming and digital and all that stuff, but it just seemed like it was here and it just gone really quick.
Yeah, it was. It was sort of in and out the theater.
But I can go ahead. I think you're gonna say something else.
No, go ahead. I was saying it was just in and out. It was kind of in and made some money and then was gone.
Cause I was looking at like I was just like, okay, like a movie like To Me Now, on my Instagram, I put up a picture. When I was in Books a Million, there was a Dawson's Creek the box set. And that immediately, like, that's nostalgia for me. Like, it's like, oh, I remember when I was in a senior in high school and, like, getting ready to, like, do, like, our baccalaureate mass and getting ready to graduate and all this shit. And my crush on Katie Holmes and all that stuff, like, tied into that. But I don't know, man. I think it's good to remember those times, but not be, you know, like, caught up in it so much.
Yeah, you can't be a slave to it.
Right.
Like, you got to progress, but you also, I think it does us good to remember our past, because people are stupid and we're doomed to repeat it unless we correct people.
People are stupid.
People are stupid, man. Like, that's been my realization the last 6 months. That, people are legitimately dumb.
So what's,
and we don't remember the past.
Is it just shit like what's going on in our country collectively, or just like what?
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah.
In conversations that I've had with actual human beings mm-hmm. in my real life and having to remind them, like, hey, just 8 months ago, this other thing happened.
Yeah.
How did we get here? You'd be surprised how dismissive they are of that or how they don't understand it. I just had a conversation with one of my friends on Twitter this morning. We were talking about, he was talking about the new Sicario movie. Did you see that?
Oh, man. I just saw it today. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't love it as much.
Why? Why, Tim?
I thought it was really disjointed at the end, like
the way, like, well, let's talk about it later. Let's talk about it later. You're talking to your friend.
We'll talk about it later.
Talking to your friend about it.
So he was really dismissive about the people's complaints about the way brown people are portrayed in the movie.
Oh, how? And I said, well, was he white?
Yeah, he's white.
Well, Tim, I think that's your answer there, buddy.
I was like, look, man, in this current
Tim, wait, Tim. How could you expect a cishet white man to have empathy. What's wrong with you, bro?
Just a little bit. What's wrong with you, bro? Just a smidge of empathy.
Come on, man.
But I was like, actually, man, our current administration, what we're literally locking children in cages based on some of this imagery that we're seeing in the film and using these ideas as a reason to justify locking children up. So I understand if you're a brown person and this kind of stuff makes you feel a certain way. I get it. It may not be how I see it, but I could look at this and say, oh, I get why you would feel this way. Because you're not dealing with, like, people yelling at you, they're going to call ICE and send you back to Mexico, even though you were born in Connecticut. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Harassing your children at school. Like, you don't have to deal with any of that. I said, but if you did, I'm sure you would look at that kind of representation different. And he was going on a tangent about every movie can't be perfect and all movies can't be all things to all people. I'm like, no one's asking for any of that.
Yeah.
Just understand that these negative stereotypes do have an actual world impact on people. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. They do. And if someone isn't okay with that, then I understand that.
Yeah, that's the same thing for me, too. Like, I saw someone write, there's a lot of toxic masculinity in season two of Luke Cage, and I was like, I didn't want to write anything to respond to her, what she said, but I was like, I agree, and Luke Cage paid for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, you're right.
Claire left him. I mean, we spoiling the shit out of it. But I mean, like, he got out of pocket and Shorty left.
Yeah.
And maybe that was her, maybe they wrote it in her contract to be like, yo, I'm only doing a certain number of episodes. But but that was toxic masculinity. And then Shorty bounced and he had to live with that shit. So when some of this stuff has consequences, like I haven't seen Glow, season two of Glow yet, but I saw someone that I just started following, a black writer. She was like, Glow was really good this season. Or I think maybe she retweeted it. I'm not 100% sure. But like she retweeted something or something like that that said that season two of Glow is really good, but I don't like how they handle the black women on the show, like the women of color. It's like they tried, but they didn't really... They didn't really execute it right. So I was like, you know. But everything is not going to check our little box. And I did remember with regards to Sicario 2, Justin Chang from the LA Times, I was listening to him review it. And he was like, yeah, some things didn't hold up. And he was kind of alluding to like Taylor Sheridan, how he's kind of been on a streak with... Hell or High Water, Wind River.
Yeah.
And now with this one, it's kind of like, you know, like, I guess Sicario was the first joint, but like, this one was kind of like, oh, you could kind of see how he operates now, you know. But at the same time, but I think even he at the same time was like, it's still entertaining. And then at the same time, it felt like, it kind of felt like one of the first grown-up movies of the year.
It definitely is.
You know, like...
It wasn't cute. There's no real good people in the movie.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of a terrible person. They're all kind of terrible people.
Yeah, like, or at least, like, of the summer. I was just like, okay. Yeah. Like, I was like... And then I kind of patted myself on the back because I didn't lose anything. Like, I was like, okay, I get this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And also, you know, I wasn't in love with it, but it also was also very entertaining.
Yeah.
It was fun. It does a lot of really cool stuff. There's some pretty, really cool scenes. I thought that little girl was great, man.
Well,
she's
fantastic. This Benicio, there's this...
Yeah,
I think I saved this thing. I think I might have favored it. Gave it a favorite on Twitter. I'll try to find it. But Benicio said that girl was going to win an Oscar before she's 30.
She's good, man.
Let me see what her name
is. Because she did a lot of face acting, which is tough. Because she didn't have a lot of lines. But she was doing a lot of acting with her face. It's the same thing that Daniel Kaluuya does. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
In the first Sicario.
Mm-hmm.
He does that in the first Sicario. And Emily Blunt does it in the first Sicario. Like, I was just watching that the other day. And that first Sicario, when they're crossing the border and there's the shootout, she has no idea what's happening.
Isabella Moner.
She has like
Moner.
Yeah, with Moner. Yeah,
Moner.
Yeah. Where?
Oh, she's from Cleveland.
Her name is what? Doesn't say much. What? She's from Cleveland.
Yeah,
that little girl good, man.
I fucked with it, man. I liked it. It's just like one of those, like, it's a lot of moments where I was like, it was one moment I was like, man, these white people young. I was like, what? This is really? I was like, really? This is what it is? I was like, okay. Yeah. And I liked, I love Benicio. He's so good, man.
Yeah. And there's no real, I think the problem with the movie, there's no real antagonist in the movie.
Let's see.
There's no real definite one.
Like government.
Yeah, kind of, but it's all shadowy and like, yeah, it's very broad. It's not like a, this guy, and because in the movie it paints like there's going to be some big showdown between, you know, Thanos and Benicio del Toro, and it never really comes to that.
Yeah. Well, they, I mean,
that's the,
without, well, fuck it. I mean, basically trying to leave him for dead, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of Traffic.
Yes. Yeah.
The way that they, and I think that they kind of, they handled it pretty deftly. I mean, maybe it was a little clunky. You know, like, even like, what's the movie with the, that they did after that? The guy, they let him write it, and it was Syriana. Like, there was like, Traffic came out, and it was like, we're trying to do these really big, sprawling movies with all these intersectional Robert Altman shit going on.
Like I call it like an avant-garde action film.
That's supposed
to, like, be something deeper. Like, there's a bunch of those out.
Yeah.
The whole genre in itself.
Right. And I mean, I dug it. And, you know, like, because I went to see, this will bleed into what I want to talk to you about next. But, I just, like, overall, like, I just enjoyed it. There was nobody with a superhero suit on. Not that I don't enjoy those, but it was just kind of like, let's see something a little grounded in reality. Let's see how, you know, like, I like the kidnapping scene, what they did with that, how they kind of put a little swerve on it. It was very, I was like, okay. I was like, all right. You know, I was fucking with it, man. Like, I appreciated it. Let's see what now. I want to get your take on the battle, the war of MoviePass versus, well, right now, AMC.
Man.
AMC just released, they just had this past week, the A-List, where
I saw that.
And I joined it.
Of course you did.
And I was talking about it in the last episode. So the A-List, you can watch 3 movies a week for $20 a month, and you can watch it in
a great deal
in any format, with plus taxes, like $21 or something like that. And I also have MoviePass, but what put me over the edge to get it was the fact that, you know, like, my listeners know, there's an AMC across the street from me now. It's a nice, really nice AMC dine-in theater, and they don't take MoviePass. And if you have a job, you're not going to the early screenings, which are $7, $7 and change. You're paying like $14 and $15 for a ticket. And if I want the convenience of going there, I have to pay out of my pocket for it. And so I was like, you know what, man, this is across the street from me. This is like across the highway and it's easy access. It's not congested. I'm going to do this. And dude, I watched 2 movies already today. I just signed up today. Yes, dude.
What 2 movies today?
I watched Sicario 2 at 11 o'clock. I went and got a haircut. I went and bought some sneakers. And then went to get a haircut, and when I was getting my, I left out of the barbershop, I was like, oh, I can catch the screening of Uncle Drew. And so I was like, fuck it. Let's put this shit into play. And I watched I watched that too. It's legit, man. It's you know, I think it's a good deal. It's really good.
It's a great deal, especially for someone, you know, if you live in one of these, you know, major cities where movies are very, very expensive, right? New York, L.A., Seattle's getting there, you know, any big metropolitan area.
Dude, Seattle's a major price. Seattle's a major city, man.
I mean, as far as, like, prices for movies, like, we're definitely getting up there.
How much does it cost to go see Sicario 2 in Seattle?
I don't want to sound like a snob, Chris.
I don't care,
but I haven't really paid for a movie in a very long time.
Okay, well, I don't know. You're a film critic, so
I don't know.
What do the peasants? Do you know what the peasants pay?
I don't even. But I haven't even looked.
You don't. If
I'm here, I know that there's someone with an asshole, but I don't look.
Well, dude,
I haven't even looked. I don't know.
I've become a movie snob too, man. Like, well, I've been called a movie snob for quite some time. Yeah. It's like AMC is charging people all this money for seats, for tickets, and at the largest mall in New Jersey, the Garden State Plaza, the AMC in that mall does not have reclining seats. They don't have.
And
that's like, yo, why are you charging people this much and you're not renovating the theater? That's bullshit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think
that's the problem we're going to run into. The AMC is not going to allow their business to be used at their theater, so that really narrows down where they're able to operate, right? That's, you know, probably over 50% of the theaters around the nation, and that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, like, I went to a theater to see, when I saw Hereditary at, like, in Nowhere, Connecticut, they had reclining seats. What's like?
What?
You know? Yeah, man. Like, it's like in a major mall in a metropolitan area. You can't upgrade your facility. Come on, man.
Yeah,
that's
weird. They got to step it up. Yeah. They are. They're trying to keep me and John talked about it on the podcast last week. Like, okay. they're doing anything to keep people in theaters.
Yeah,
anything.
Because that's part of it, man. It's an experience. I love it, man. Dude, I have Netflix. I have premium cable channels. I still go to the movie, but that's what I enjoy. Like, that's,
yeah, games. I'm with you.
But it's just, you know, like, it's hard to keep up with these things. I don't think I can manage any more subscriptions though. I don't think.
Yeah.
I think this is it. Like, this $20 a month, and like when I start doing, I do the road a little bit more, so yeah. I have my movie pass. Like, I went to go see. Won't You Be My Neighbor, which we'll talk about in a bit. I went to see that yesterday at a Bowtie Cinema, which is a smaller movie chain. And it's in an old theater house, but their seats were nice. Leather seats.
Yeah.
There wasn't stadium, but it was just like nice renovated seats. And it was good. You know, I had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're headed to Charlotte in a few months. Are you going to check out a theater when you're down there?
I don't know if I get there in time. I know Michael Felder goes to AMC's down there, so
yeah.
I would assume that they would be the same. You know, it seemed like the last time I was in North Carolina when I opened for Chris Hardwick. Ooh, when I opened for him, I went to see Thor 2. And the tickets
were, the Dark World.
Yeah, the Dark World. And that was like $6 or $7. And the theater was like, it was stadium seating. It was a huge, I don't think it was a national chain. It might have been like a regional chain. But it was super nice. And it was very cheap.
The theater experience is still, I think, very, very necessary, especially for certain types of films, right?
I love it,
Avengers,
man.
Movies. Horror movies. Even something like Why Should You Be My Neighbor. Very good theater experience I had.
Yeah, dude. Now, so do you think, how long do you think MoviePass can sustain itself?
I think because it has the backing of AMC, it'll last MoviePass?
Yeah.
Not too much longer.
Yeah.
It depends. It really depends. Like, if they can find someone to buy them out, like a Fandango or a Flixster app that allows them to have some sort of cushion, they can ride this wave and maybe tweak some things about their subscription service.
Yeah.
Maybe it lasts, but as it's currently structured, no, it won't last too much longer. Because you're cutting out at least half the theaters people can't see it at.
Mm-hmm.
And the other half are like Regal, and Regal's probably looking at doing something similar to what AMC is doing. So whatever bigger entities they are probably looking at doing something similar instead of, or unless they somehow find a benefit in partnering and getting all of MoviePass's user data to sell, and, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
But I definitely think this subscription movie service is going to be, it's not something that's going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, because I can't do all of them. AMC is going to be, that's going to be it for me. But Regal, I do have a card. Like, I have like a Regal Rewards card. And I did go to Regal earlier this week while I was in Atlantic City. And I just went to like, you know, like 20 miles outside of Atlantic City, and went to this movie theater, and it was like stadium seating. And I saw Superfly, Tag.
I saw Superfly.
And Ocean's 8. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw Superfly, man.
It was fun. Funny. It was like, you know, man, like, I don't know, man. What? Maybe I don't want to sound too like Pollyanna-ish about it, but I enjoyed myself.
Dude, I heard Rod review it, and I was like, this sounds fun.
Yeah.
We didn't screen it at all. It wasn't on our list.
Of course it wasn't.
We didn't screen it at all in the area. Of course it wasn't.
In Seattle, Washington?
I go to see it. Yeah, no, not at all. And we screened all kind of crap, but we did not screen Superfly. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. It was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a lot of over-the-top characters. I enjoyed 21 Savage stunt double dude for Snow Patrol, who kept popping up.
Yeah.
He was funny because he was just talking reckless to his boss, which made me laugh every time. So I'm like, you get shot.
Yeah, he's going to die.
Shoot him in the face. Yeah, it's clear he's going to die. When the Lamborghini explodes in the last scene, made me laugh out loud. Like, it just hit. And the car just slammed into a Confederate monument and exploded.
Yeah. message.
It's all kind of dumb stuff. Yeah, right. Him rolling up on a Mexican to get the, so that is not how ridiculous the movie is. When he's snooping on his mentor to get the connect, they're like right across the street in the middle of nowhere. How does no one see you in the truck?
Nobody saw him.
Yeah, no one sees him. Then he sneaks. They get him on the plane and all that. The threats, and it just was so ridiculous. It was like someone wrote some sort of, you know, black exploitation fan fiction and came up with the Superfly movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. I had fun watching it. I laughed out loud. I had fun. I enjoyed the kid who played Superfly. I thought he was great.
Yeah. I like that dude, Taylor Jackson?
Yeah.
Did I say it right? Is that him?
Yeah. He's doing karate on people outside the club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got
two girlfriends.
A little Matrix-y type
shit. Yeah, that's a little...
No, you're going to have me tanking on this, man. That wasn't his name.
Isn't it?
Trevor
Jackson. Trevor Jackson. There
yeah,
Trevor
okay.
Jackson. Yeah.
We saved it. Firestar
yeah,
guys
Jackson.
Won't get us. yeah, man. Like, I like him because I've liked him in stuff that I've seen, like Grown-ish.
Yeah, he's on Grown-ish.
And Burning Sands, he was good. So... Yeah, he's a good young actor.
Yeah, he's good. He's good, man. I like it. Uh-huh. I like the evil, over-the-top evil cops that show up halfway through the movie and want to cut.
Jennifer Morrison, that was an interesting choice because she's always been like those choir girl Pris characters. Like, she's always been like the ingenue for the most part, what I've seen.
Yeah.
So it's good seeing her play like a shitty cop.
Coke addict cops with a crazy partner.
Yeah, it was fun, man. Like
I
don't know, man. I dug it because it's the same way. I mean, it's not. I would not say it's better than In Too Deep.
No,
but like those urban movies, like those dimension films, movies that came out like in the early 2000s. Shout out to Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Like putting out all those good ass, low budgety indie movies. I gotta throw that on. I got that on DVD somewhere.
Yeah. They either star Mekhi Phifer, Omar Epps, or mm-hmm. Morris Chestnut.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Watch all those movies.
At one point, I thought the homies from my buddies, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown. I don't know if you've heard of the Medium Popcorn podcast.
Yeah, I listen every week, man.
Okay, they were supposed to do something. I told them whenever they do In Too Deep, they got to have me on. I'd love to talk about that movie.
I think either emailed you or tweeted them. I want them to do Dance Fu. You seen that?
Which one?
Dance Fu.
I haven't heard of that. Dance Fu?
Oh, yeah, man. Dance Fu, yeah, Mikel Mitchell from Kenan and Kel. He's a guy who can't fight, but when music plays, he somehow has the ability to fight, and it's called Dance Fu.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's exactly what you think it is.
2011 martial arts comedy. Cedric the Entertainer directed it?
Comedy is a stretch. Let me put that out there.
What the fuck?
I would call it a comedy.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Are you watching the trailer?
I'm not watching the trailer, but I just Googled it, and wow, okay.
It's a mess, man. I don't think this will be one day, because it's pretty great.
That is funny. Wow.
Okay. Yeah, somebody's head's gonna explode with you on that movie.
That's incredible. Yeah, I like that. Okay. Talked about Toys R Us. We talked about some movies. Let's see what else are you, have you seen Sorry to Bother You yet?
I did. I saw Sorry to Bother You. I actually just interviewed the director of Boots Riley a couple weeks ago.
Is it everything that Black Twitter hoped it to be?
It's for two-thirds of the movie, yes, and it takes a really hard left turn in the third act.
Okay.
So either people are either going to be in on the movie or they'll be out, but it definitely takes a turn.
Does it? Because when I looked at the trailer, it looked like it seemed to me like it sort of had this Michelle Gondry, Be Kind, Rewind type of vibe to it. Is that?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay. I'm excited to see it. I mean, I know everybody was going apeshit over it because they love Lakeith, and he said faggot in one of his freestyles.
Yeah. He had a pretty problematic freestyle.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, what are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, what are you doing? This is in this movie in various forms of dress. That's always fun.
Okay.
It's a great story. Armie Hammer shows up in it. Amari Hardwick's in it. But mm-hmm. if I do say so, the movie I think people are expecting Sorry to Bother You to be, I think Blindspotting is all of that.
Now, see, this is where, because you liked it, and I think John from About to Review liked it. Are you buying my man as a thuggish type guy, a troubled criminal?
He's not a troubled criminal. He's not any of that, no.
Okay.
That's why it works.
Okay.
He's not that guy.
Okay.
He's just on parole.
What's his name?
David Diggs.
David Diggs, yes.
You find out later why he's on parole, and you're like, oh, that makes sense. I see how something like this could happen.
Because that's why I was like, I don't buy him as a bad guy.
Yeah,
I mean, okay. So maybe I will see it. You
love it, man. It's great.
Okay,
it's great, man. It's great from beginning to end. It's a really interesting story. As someone who loves acting, there are some very very good scenes. That allow people to sort of act and sort of explore their emotions. It's super intense. It's a pretty intense film.
Okay.
But yeah, man, I think you'll appreciate it. And I think that would be the movie that people are surprised with. Because Sorry to Bother You has had a bunch of promotion, and it's got,
mm-hmm.
you know, a few very hot actors in it right now. And it's funny, and it's sort of surreal in moments. But mm-hmm. I think Blindspotting is the more straight, not straight, the more standard storytelling vehicle that sure. most people use that has a lot of those moments in it as well.
Yeah.
I think it'll be much easier for the casual moviegoer to digest.
Gotcha. So it's something, because to me, it seems like it's in my wheelhouse as far as being like an independent film, like art housey type thing, where I'm gonna see it, and I'm even more excited to see it because there's black actors. But is mainstream black Twitter gonna embrace it?
They will. They will.
Okay.
But it won't be. It'll be something that I think will carry through word of mouth.
Gotcha.
I don't think people initially will be like, "Yo, Blast Body is on theater. Let me go see it." I think once the word is out that, "Hey, I saw this movie called Blast Body and it's really dope."
Okay.
I think it'll start to carry some legs, and I definitely it'll be around during award season.
Okay, so really? So Blind, you think it's gonna be? Oh wow, okay.
And Pascal, the performances will definitely be around.
So Blind, so you say that Blind Spotting would be more accessible than Sorry to Bother You?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But I love them both.
Got
but,
you. Okay. You
know, certain things just aren't as accessible. Did you ever see Annihilation?
I loved it. Now a lot of people.
Like Annihilation did. There's seen Annihilation when it gets to the lighthouse where you're like, okay, either you're in on this at the lighthouse moment or you're not.
It's like
Sorry Bobby has a moment just like that where you're like, okay, we're either in on the movie or not. Sorry Bobby has a very similar moment.
People, like, you can maybe see the whole, like, I started watching it, like I said on the last episode, my dad got a new television that's like this is insane HD ultra crazy ass TV, and I bought him a Blu-ray player, and it's like this upscaling ultra HD, and it just it's so good that it looks fake, and it looks
I've seen those,
and it's just like an Annihilation, I guess, you know, I saw it one and three quarter times because I went to go see it. I went to see it the first time and I loved it. And then the second time I was killing time before I had to meet a friend. So that's another helpful thing about MoviePass. Like, when you don't want to spend a shit ton of money in New York City, you just, you know, go use your MoviePass and watch a movie till you can leave. But anyway, I just dug it, and I think we talked about we talked about this.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. But it seemed like some people were mad at Annihilation, which I didn't get.
Yeah, I wasn't mad at it. I find that the last movie I was mad at was Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom. That's it.
I didn't even see it, dude.
Yeah, don't.
So many people
don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Watch it on a plane when you're traveling.
Okay.
If you're bored in the middle of nowhere doing a gig on the road, maybe take some time to go see it if you have nothing else to do.
I was thinking about seeing it, but I was like, I'd rather see Ocean's 8. I'd rather see that.
Yep. Yeah. Much better film.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one. We'll do it. We'll talk about Won't You Be My Neighbor and Uncle Drew on Patreon. So just tell the listeners. Are you listening to anything new? Because you actually put me on to Daniel Caesar, which I really liked, and I loved his Tiny Desk concert.
Man, that was pretty great.
Yeah,
I listened to that Drake. I was very underwhelmed by it.
Do you think? I felt like Pusha T made him
change his album.
Kind of, yeah, like made him a better dad.
Yeah.
he said some shit like, I only love my mother and something else, but it wasn't his kid.
Yeah, he's got, I feel like he went in and sort of put him on the fly.
Yeah.
Good for him, though, for attempting something.
Because that March 14th record was like, kind of like ramblings. It's like
ramblings.
It's like, I bought you these Christmas gifts, I bought you a lot. Your mom said you grew out of them. I'm going to hang out with you soon.
I heard you're getting tall, guy.
Yeah, you're getting big. You're growing out of your clothes. Bye.
He should call that song Weekend Dad, because that's what he sounds like. Just, hey, you look taller last time I saw you.
Now, I think he's very talented. Now, listening to the songs, like I don't think I listened to the whole thing because I was trying to listen to it at work, and I got through the first part, and the connection that I have, like I have Tidal, and the connection's not good in the office. But I was just like, okay, this sounds good. Drake is talented. Like I don't have any problems with him. I think, you know, for our generation, he's someone that's like, okay, he's not a lyricist. He's not lyric. Like,
yeah.
He's not going to hit you with the lyrical miracle shit that like Sky Zoo or, you know, or Kendrick or whatever. But I was like, I get it every time I'm at a bar or a club or something. And I was like, oh, this sounds good. What is it? And I Shazam it. It's Drake. And he's very.
It's something that you can play at a bar over a bunch of other noise. It sounds good. You don't have to really be invested in what the words are.
Yeah.
You just catch the melody in the hook and be like, oh, this is fun. To sort of two step two.
Yeah.
Fine.
So you were just underwhelmed by it.
Yeah, it felt like a lot of Instagram. It's like I told my friend today at the game. I was like, it feels like a bunch of Instagram captions over very good beats.
Yeah.
That's it. And pretty good beats. And he's just stating a bunch of random stuff that people are going to put on their Instagram, and that's going to be it.
Yeah, what is it? Like, that's a thing, right? Like they're just going to make Instagram memes? And
You know, it's funny. I feel like it happened organically because you know how the culture is. Like, people will take something. Like, the Jordan meme is something organically that came from people on social media, right? Mm-hmm. So taking people's lyrics and organically putting them on your caption was something that just happened, but I think now Drake is going man and tune with these rappers, and now it's sort of creating these things that he knows will be, you know, underneath some girl's caption as she flashes her passport, going to some anonymous place overseas.
Gotcha.
To be able to put a Drake line under there, and you know, who? What is some double entendre? What does it mean? I don't know.
And now I'm.
Yeah, now I'm cool. Now people are investing in whatever it is I'm supposed to be doing. Gotcha. He is aware. He's part of the culture. It's just for a guy as talented as he is to have as many resources and the ability to make music as he is, I'm extremely underwhelmed with this project.
It's an interesting way to look at it. For a guy that has all these resources, it's just kind of like, like, has he used Michael Jackson? Yeah. He uses dead guys like Static Major.
Yeah.
From what's my group? Fucking Playa.
Playa,
One album.
That Tears to You album was fire. That was
dope.
The album was flames.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's got, you know, he could have done anything. He should. Drake is someone who should be creating culture. Instead, I feel like he just rode cultural trends that are hot right now.
Yeah. Speaking of,
and I expect that from Migos, but I don't expect that from Drake. And no diss to Migos, I expect that from them, but I don't expect that from Drake.
It seems like that's what people say. He's a culture vulture.
It sounds like it. Pusha T definitely hinted at it.
Because I don't know much, but I know, like, speaking of another rap dad, Fonte, No News Is Good News to me is out of this world.
I think
it's the best thing he's ever done. It's great.
Yeah.
But speaking of another one, like Evidence, who one of my favorite songs of the year, he's got this song called Throw It All Away from his album, Whether or Not. And he was talking about the process of his album. He's like, you know, when I started this album, I didn't have a kid. And by the end of the album, I talk about my son. But he says, like, I don't have a son, but I fathered this beat. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, that's, you know, that's dope as fuck. But then he starts to talk about, like, how the birth of his son was one of the reasons he found out that his wife or his lady had breast cancer. So it's like a through line or like an evolution of an artist that you see kind of unfolding by the end of the project, where it's just like, this Drake thing seemed to be like a, like he's like trying to turn something in before the final exam.
Oh, for sure. Like, I feel like whatever he had planned, he was going to be lit. And he got the Scorpion album coming out. Mm-hmm. And Pusha T came in the party and wrecked everything. And his parents were coming home in 2 minutes. He was like, how do I fix this?
Yeah. And it's
he's scrambling trying to fix it.
Yeah. While I think, like, I think he's talented and aesthetically, it sounds pretty fucking dope. From what I heard, yeah. I was like, oh, this guy's good. But I don't know that I'm going to go back to it.
Yeah, and that's the other funny part of this whole beef is Pusha ends up with a better project. Mm-hmm. That's going to sting.
Well, let's move on.
You can talk about all those numbers and what he did and streaming. At the end of the day, when the summer's over, Pusha had a better project.
Yeah, but see, Drake ain't making music for us, and we're like 40. Yeah. We're 40, basically.
Yeah,
and nobody gives a shit about what we think. But let's no. Well, Tim,
this is very true.
Tim, this has been great, man. We're gonna give the people who aren't freeloaders some more stuff.
Sounds good.
And we're gonna talk about movies, and then we'll wrap it up. So just hold on to the line for a sec, and I will. Let me see how I can.